Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns' podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Member Forum Video is brought to you by PSEU Co-op Solutions, Connective, and Despite Impossible. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. We are here continuing our coverage at the PSEU Co-op Solutions Member Forum in beautiful San Antonio, Texas. And look who we have in the studio lounge, a couple of financial services experts, especially in the technology arena. We're going to be talking about generative AI today. Oh my gosh, I am like a kid in a candy store when it comes to this type of stuff. I'm really, really excited about this. So
it's an exciting topic. For sure.
I know, and it's changing by the second, it seems like. So let's do some introductions here first before we get forward. We have Carrie Smith right here next to us from Accenture. Carrie, how are you?
Doing great, Mike, and really happy to be here.
Good.
So I head up our data and AI globally for banking at Accenture.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
And then my background is actually I come from the world of fintech.
Oh.
So I've been a founding member of several digital startups.
Okay.
So I've been in the space of data, AI, emerging
all right.
technology all of my career.
You are well-versed in this area already. All right. And then last but not least on the end there is Vlad Jovanovic. Did I get it right, Vlad?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You did. Practicing for hours. How are you, Vlad, from PSEU Co-op Solutions, obviously. How are you, sir?
Good. Great to be here. Vlad, I'm a VP of Innovation at PSEU, and you know, generative AI is certainly a topic that we talk about within our team.
Yeah, when you say those two words or the acronym together, people are like, oh, they kind of, everyone's eyebrows kind of raise a little bit. It piques your interest for sure, because it's like we were saying before the recording, it's changing by the minute, it seems like. So,
oh, yeah.
But I want to start out with like what PSEU Co-op Solutions is doing, what Accenture is doing in this area,
sure.
And then we'll kind of get into like, where do you see this going, and maybe some practical usage. Carrie, I'll let you go first. What are you guys at Accenture doing with generative AI these days?
Yeah, sure. So we have, I would say, completely embraced this emerging technology, and we're doubling down. We've been focusing on data and AI for a very long time, but with generative AI as well, we publicly announced that we are investing $3 billion in this space.
Wow.
And so some part of that is through kind of broadening of our talent, right? So we have 40,000 data and AI practitioners now. We're going to get to 80,000 over the next 3 years, but also just in terms of our investment around some of our solutions and what we're bringing to clients. And then also looking inward, right? Like anything that we're going to be talking about and helping our clients with, we're doing it to ourselves as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a really exciting time, and I would say Accenture has a very high learning culture. To your point,
good.
Things are changing so
yes.
rapidly.
Yeah.
So you have to have that learning mindset, and that's something that we fully embrace as a company.
Good. Yeah, I think that we need more of that for sure, especially
absolutely.
Right now. And Vlad, what's PSEU Co-op Solutions doing in this area as well? I think you guys are, I've seen stuff in the news and things like that, but just for folks
yes.
out there.
Yeah, sure. So
what are you guys doing?
It's exciting stuff. So really, I'll go back a little bit and talk about, you know, from an AI standpoint, we started down this AI path about 4 years ago. We started automating some repetitive tasks around with RPA. We started introducing machine learning into our fraud fighting capabilities. And then along the way, we realized that, you know, talking about data, right, data is very important. And so data governance and those policies sitting around that are extremely important, especially when we talk about generative AI. And those tools were only going to be more effective if we have good data policies in place. And so, you know, we're starting to think about how do we leverage generative AI now in order to be more efficient in different parts of our organization, and certainly collaborating with Accenture on that and kind of our platform.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. So how are you guys collaborating? How are you guys partnering up in this area? Because I think that's a good thing, because
yes.
there's so much to learn still, as we
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely.
So how are you guys collaborating? Carrie, you want to start? Or
I will give it to Vlad. Yeah,
Vlad?
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Yeah, so we're certainly leveraging Accenture in this path. You know, they've obviously entered this arena in a big way, and so we're leveraging Accenture for, you know, as we learn about generative AI, as we move down this path, what are some of the lessons learned, what are some of the best practices,
mm-hmm.
what do we need to be thinking about, and really how do we leverage the expertise that even Carrie brings, right, in this space, and you know, educate our credit unions as well on this path.
If I can just add something on that, so I love the fact that you talked about learning and education. So I would say within this space as well, as we're working with our broader clients in market as well, I would say there's been a significant demand regarding just education level and how do you raise AI literacy within organizations, right? And that's coming actually from the top down, so like meaning board level, CEOs, etc., trying to really understand what does this technology do, how do we leverage it, but also how do we talk about it with our teams, and given the transformational impact of it, it's going to impact kind of the entire organization. So how do we kind of think about the broader consideration? So that's really something that we're seeing actually increasing in demand to get that AI literacy level up across the entire enterprise.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you and I touched on this earlier. I mean, you know, when people think about AI or talk about AI, it's about, you know, is this gonna, you know, kill some jobs, or some jobs going away, right? And so early on, as we started down this path as well, we realized that it is important to educate the workforce and to educate the company about the benefits of AI, right? And so while we're, you know, introducing efficiencies in certain ways and automating certain tasks, there are definitely ways for us to redeploy resources and use this technology to our advantage. Mm-hmm. And it's going to create new jobs as well, and it already is creating new jobs. So
I think there's going to be a tidal wave of new jobs. You just alluded to it, right? I mean, because you had 40,000, and now you're going to up it to 80,000 folks in this department or this area, if you will. So that's great news already.
Yes. I think great news, and then the part of it, when you look at it, is some of that is going to come through recruiting, etc., but some of that is actually through upskilling, right, of our existing workforce. And I think that's something that as companies are looking at this as well, there's a lot of question around talent. So I love what you said again regarding the fact that it's going to open up a lot of new opportunities, new jobs, but also then it's going to be a reskilling of the workforce, right? So how do we kind of embrace that, understand it? The technology is going to be here, it's going to continue to kind of evolve. We want more and more people to kind of have a voice in it and actually embrace, put your foot in the water, and start to see the application of it.
Yeah, the sooner you get going, the better off.
Absolutely.
With most things. But I love your term AI literacy.
Yes.
So this is the first time I've heard it. I'm sure it's been out there for quite a while, but we didn't hear this term, you know, 5 years ago,
right?
3 years ago. Now, you know, here's a new term for us, AI literacy. So this, it seems like this is where we are right now.
Absolutely.
Educating ourselves, right?
Yes.
So we can prepare for what's next.
So what I can do as well is, if I think about financial services organizations, right, they have been on the journey to digital for probably two decades, right?
Yeah.
And so on that journey to digital, you talk a lot about data. Data has been part of that as well. So you would have heard of people saying that I'm a data-driven organization and what's there.
Mm-hmm.
So what's now evolving is then obviously we need to be able to not only understand about our data, but we need to understand more about this emerging technology. And AI is a big part of that, right? And understanding that transformational impact of that across the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that is really what organizations are looking at, which is then how do we think about the upskilling? How do we allow people to know that this is part of your everyday job, right? It's your AI buddy, your AI intern that's going to help you, right, to drive better efficiencies.
Okay, you're throwing all these new terms out here. AI intern, AI buddy.
I'm taking notes.
Well, we're learning, right? We're learning.
I'm taking notes right now. Oh my gosh, I love this. So what? Now we're kind of, I feel like we're kind of out of the hype cycle of last year's ChatGPT craziness that took place, and now I think we're getting to more practical usage. And what are you guys hearing out there from financial institutions, in this case credit unions, as far as putting it to work in a reality scale?
I'll add something on it.
What I'll do is I'll actually share just a bit of research that we had done a couple of years ago. And what we were looking at is we talked to C-suite in financial services organizations globally. And at that point in time, what we wanted to do was get a pulse on, are you seeing the impact and effect of leveraging AI and analytics in your organization? And when we looked at that one, we saw that probably 85% of the respondents said, we know that this is important, but we're still in the POC phase of this.
Okay.
We have not seen all of the ROI yet. And then we had about 15% then saying, hey, we're actually seeing impact, we're seeing the ROI, we're scaling it. And then also, not only that, some of them are saying that we're seeing it as a competitive differentiation. And so then we wanted to understand why, right? Success leaves clues, so we want to understand why. So when we looked at those who were leading, we saw that there were 3 points of differentiation that they had. Number one was that they were actively investing in their underlying data foundations, including their movement to the cloud, right? So that digital core, that cloud and that data, that was number one. They were intentionally investing in that. The other part of it was that they were clear on what their strategy was. So they had their business strategy, and then AI and analytics was an enabler of that strategy, and they were very clear on how they were going to be measuring outcomes. And then the third thing was more around the operating model. It was very clear who is in charge of this, empower decision makers, there's funding, but there's also a way that we're going to work in the organization with data, technology, line of business working together. So if I fast forward now to where we are today, it's no surprise that those who were leading back then in AI and analytics at the time are also leading in generative AI. So going back to your question, what I would say is that as organizations have done a lot of that experimentation and those POCs, starting with some of the knowledge management, looking at technology, developer productivity, etc., we're now seeing applications across the entire enterprise where organizations are grappling with, in order for me to really truly scale and get the value of this across my enterprise, I really need to think through some of those foundational aspects, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we're seeing people looking at now that, hey, this is real, I need to get the value, so I need to do my digital data foundations, but also thinking about my talent strategy. How do I think about responsible AI, my secure guardrails? Having a bit more of a holistic look now to be able to get that true impact.
Yeah, indeed. Same question to you, Vlad. I mean, what are you seeing out there? Because I'm seeing as the more examples people see of how it works, especially in credit unions, because credit unions talk to each other a lot. Absolutely. That's the superpower of collaboration. So, but I think if they see examples after example, oh, we can do that, and they put their own spin on it. So, I mean, I see this as just a tidal wave of opportunity.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, when you're in a room with credit unions and you ask the question, you know, how many of them are, you know, at least exploring around generative AI and generative AI tools, so lots of hands go up. So that's amazing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think this morning in our keynote session, you might have heard, you know, when it comes to the call center, IVR versus IVA, and how do we become conversational in that channel and actually resolve some issues or some questions right there, right? So that's kind of one use case. The other one is when we think about knowledge bases, right? And we all have these huge knowledge bases, a lot of manuals. How do we become more efficient at going through those and coming back with answers? So using this technology to come back with answers that are a lot more succinct and faster and more effective. That's going to, you know, help us be more efficient in the call center. That's going to help us be more efficient in many different areas where manuals are present today. And then, you know, you think about, and I think generative AI is one of those things that's talked about within the dev cycle, right? So how do we reimagine the way we do development today? So everything from, you know, gathering business requirements, the functional design docs, to actually doing the coding and development and testing, right? There's a lot of resource hours to go into that process today. And generative AI technologies can definitely help help us become a lot more efficient in that arena as well. So those are probably some of the top use cases that, you know, from an innovation standpoint, we're starting to think about and starting to look into feasibility and how we would, you know, how we would execute maybe some proof of concepts around that. But, you know, that's what we're focused. But again, generative AI touches so many different facets of our business. I mean, literally every single industry is touched by generative AI, so the opportunity is immense, right?
Well, this takes me back to, like, I'm going to certainly date myself, but the App Store. When the App Store first opened up, and, like, you can make an Apple's famous tagline, and we have an app for that.
Yeah.
It's like we have a large language model for that type of thing. I see that happening. We don't even know what, you know, we don't know what we don't know yet. 6 months from now, we'll be having a completely different conversation. A year from now, certainly it's going to be a different conversation. So, I mean, what are you seeing?
So if I look at this one, I would say, like, it's the first emerging technology in the history of human development that has had this pace of innovation, as well as then global mass embracing, right? And part of that is actually because of the language mastery that comes with the large language models. So I'm able to interface with that. I don't have to have necessarily specialized knowledge for me to be able to talk with it or interact with it in the same language that I would do with a fellow human being, right? And so that's kind of what you saw with ChatGPT and some of the broader applications of it. But what I'm excited about is that because of some of the efficiency that's there, and because I mentioned, like, my AI buddy or my AI partner, because it's going to be freeing up so many of those hours and putting, I would say, more value in, right, to the process. There's going to be that intellectual capacity that's freed up that then can be repurposed to higher value activities. And so I think there's going to be a lot more that's going to be opening up in terms of, for example, frontline in terms of customer interactions, right? customer experiences? How do we want to actually do different product design and what's there as well? So, and you know, some companies are going to the point of view to just say, with that improvement in productivity, maybe we're going to get to the 4-day work week, right, finally? And some companies actually is projecting 3 days, right? So there's different things that, you know, are around it, but I would say it's very...
AI buddy's going to take over.
Well, no, but it will be kind of, I would say, a very energizing time.
Yeah,
and to what Vlad was talking about, what I was looking at is, I know you give a lot of different examples. I would say there's a lot to, on the revenue growth side, as you start to think about that intelligent front office and those customer experiences, new products. So a lot of applications that we're seeing across the entire financial services enterprise.
It's exciting.
It is.
Well, can you segue off that a little bit from PSEU Co-op Solutions perspective as well? Because again, there's just so much opportunity here.
Like I said, there's a lot of different areas that are touched with generative AI. I think, you know, not a whole lot to add what Carrie, has already said. It's just, I feel like we're only scratching the surface at this point with, you know, what's really possible, right? And when you think about large language models, ChatGPT, and these tools that are out there, it's exciting and you get excited. Then you start thinking about large action models and kind of what that technology really, really brings to the table as well. I think that future looks really exciting, a little bit scary as well at the same time. I think we're just scratching the surface of really what's possible and what's out there.
All right, last question, because I know you guys have a lot to do here. I don't want to keep you too long, but what are you hearing in the hallways here when we're talking generative AI? What kind of conversations are you having here about this on this topic?
Yeah, so I think, so the role that I play at Accenture as well is that I have the pleasure and the opportunity to work globally with many financial services organizations. So a lot of the questions here as well is just regarding, people want to have insights, right? What are others doing in this space?
Yeah.
What are my peers doing? Where are people actually finding success? So that's kind of one part of it. I think the other part of it then is, a lot of organizations, when they first started out, they started with their knowledge management and some of their search capabilities, because that was an area that AI was already present.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's internal facing. People felt that was a safer way to experiment, right, with an emerging technology. But I think people have graduated beyond that. So we're getting, you know, also questions around what are some of the additional areas where we can apply this, right? And then also, how do we start to think about then moving to scale that I mentioned to you? What are some of the considerations around that, etc.? And people just looking at what are some examples of impact? So those are some of the questions I would say.
Sounds like they want use cases. They want success stories.
Success stories, and then also maybe kind of
check. Where
do they push themselves? And also, just in terms of some of the internal buy-in and approvals, how do you navigate that? And number one question always there is also, how do I think about security, secure guardrails, and all of that stuff?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole episode.
Right.
That's another episode, for
right?
Sure.
Exactly.
Vlad, any final thoughts on what you're hearing in the hallways here, or even in general as well?
Along the same lines, right? It's about insights, it's about education, and it's about, you know, use cases, and then ultimately, how do I get started?
Yeah,
what do
exactly.
I need to do
oh
in order
gosh,
for
yeah.
me to get started? What do I need to be thinking about?
Yeah.
How do I position this internally? Right.
Right.
Those are all,
yes.
all the questions that are kind of coming up.
Good deal. Well, maybe we can get your AI intern, your AI buddy, to help us out with that as well.
Invite us back.
Exactly. With your AI buddy.
Yes.
All right. Carrie, Vlad, thank you so much for this, just a quick little taste of what's in store with generative AI. I know we're all just eternally curious about what's going to happen here, and again, I think there's just so much opportunity on the horizon.
Absolutely.
You guys see it as well. So, yeah, good stuff.
Thank you very much.
You are welcome, guys.
Thank
Keep
you.
Up the good work. Well done.
Member 4 video is brought to you by PSEU Co-op Solutions, connective and despite impossible. Quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stearns, podcast, Despite Impossible.